This is Insurance Marketing with John Carroll, episode 13. Let's rock.
Welcome to Insurance Marketing with John Carroll, your resource for marketing ideas, sales tips, and business strategies that help agents like you survive and thrive. And now your host, John Carroll.
Hello and welcome to another exciting edition of Insurance Marketing with John Carroll. I am John Carroll and thank you very much for joining me today. I'm going to be talking about something that is very important for anybody in just about any sales industry, but it's especially important for those of us in the insurance business because there is such an attack right now on the idea of insurance having any value other than the price. We can thank I'm not going to name anybody, but I'll just say that we can thank all the marketing out there that is so price driven that it pretty much supports the idea that the only thing that matters with insurance is price. But I don't believe that. I don't believe that. And the reason I say that is just because people don't buy exclusively on price. If the only reason people bought anything was because of price, then the only car you would ever see for sale is a Chevy, or not for sale, the only car you would ever see anybody buy is a Chevy Aveo, or whatever it is. People buy things because they, for a number of different reasons, but they start the process based on price because, quite frankly, that's all they know. Now, you hear a lot of people, a lot of sales gurus, and I'm not trying to say I'm a sales guru. I just have some ideas that I'm basically just taking from other people and spreading out to you, with the occasional self-thought idea. But the thing that makes me upset a lot of times is you always hear people say, you got to sell value. You got to sell value. You know, if you sell price, you're in trouble. And I'm guilty of saying that. But what you don't often hear is concrete, actionable ways that you can sell value instead of price. And when I see people promoting an idea but not really helping people on how to do it, that makes me frustrated because I think it's frustrating everybody else. And so I try not to do that stuff with the things that I do here on the podcast and everywhere else online. I want to give you actionable things that you can do. That's why in this podcast, I'm going to be going through 14 specific things that you can do during the sales process that are designed to get people out of that mindset of price and into the mindset of value. Now, I just want to be clear. I'm not an idiot. That's an arguable point. I'm kind of dumb about a lot of things, but one thing I'm not dumb about is I don't think that you can sell an insurance policy that costs $2,000 a year that somebody could get the exact same thing for half that price. I don't think that. I'm not an idiot. What I think, though, is that if you're closing 25% of your sales right now and you can shift the way that you sell things away from price, you might be able to boost that 25% to 35%. You know, one person out of 10 that you can make a sale that you otherwise would have lost because you became a better salesperson who was speaking about value instead of price, if you can make that one little difference, just think about how that percentage shift would happen over the, think about the effect that would have over the course of a year. Think about the effect it would have if everybody in your agency made those changes, could sell just a little bit more. That's what this conversation is about. It's about doing a little bit more because in the end, running a successful insurance agency, being good in sales is not about one little thing. It's about doing a lot of little things the right way that add up to huge, huge success. So that's what I'm going to talk about today is 14 ways that you can inject value into the sales process. The first thing is, number one, talk about claims. All right. And the deal is, here's the deal. When people call you up shopping for insurance, they care about price. We know that. Your job is to get them to think about anything else besides price. So you have to talk about claims. Explain the claims process. Explain how your agency helps guide customers through it as smoothly as possible. use specific examples of how this can work. And basically just throughout the process, find every way you can to get people thinking about claims. The more they think about claims, the less price becomes an issue. Okay. I'll talk a little bit more. Some of these other ideas I'm going to share with you are going to give you some more ideas, but just remember that. How can I talk about claims? How can I inject claims conversations into the sales conversation? Question number two, this is like a very subliminal mind messing with people kind of trick, and that's why I really like it. It's to ask people why they bought that. Why'd you buy that? All right. So for the most part, except for life insurance, when you're selling somebody insurance, you're selling insurance on something. And when they tell you about the car they bought or the home they bought or the motorcycle or the RV or the boat or whatever it is, ask them why they bought that. You could say it a number of different ways. You could say, why'd you choose that one? What'd you do? You know, whatever. Now, here's the catch. It is so rare that somebody's going to tell you, oh, I bought that because it was the cheapest. They're not going to say that. Not ever. Even me, and I'm like the cheapest dude on earth. All right. Now, they might say it was the cheapest and, or it was the cheapest that still did this or whatever. But the point is, people are not going to tell you, I bought this car because it was the cheapest, unless they bought a Chevy Aveo. But even still, they bought a new car. They could have bought a used car. Right? I mean, the answer of I bought that only because it's the cheapest is never the answer. And so when you ask people that question, what happens is the answer that they give you, it activates the parts of their brain that say, I make decisions based on what I need, not what's cheapest. And when you activate that part of their brain, you're going to get them thinking more about things besides just the price. Okay? So ask them why they bought that. Ask every single time. Question number three. This one is very specific to auto insurance. You could probably come up with some ways to adjust it for other things. But the question is, somehow ask the person about the worst accident they've ever seen. Now, right now, as you're listening to my voice, I want you to do it. What is the worst car accident you've ever witnessed? Think about it. Chances are you're probably going through a really ugly thought. I'll tell you what I'm thinking about. I'm remembering this time when I was living in Philadelphia, and I was driving through I-76 through the heart of the city, and on the other side of the road, there was this tractor trailer that had like this huge fire and flames that were coming out of the top of it. And I can remember I was driving to work, and I was just like, oh my Jesus, this is like watching something in a movie. There's just giant flames and everything was crazy. And, you know, I just drove past and went to work, but it was burned into my mind. And when I tell you this story, when I relive that in my mind, it reminds me that insurance is about a heck of a lot more than what I paid for it. It's also a really interesting conversation. And what you did is you just got me, what I did to myself, I guess, is just started thinking about something besides price. So remember that, you know, or a variation of that is instead of asking what's the worst accident, you can ask something like, hey, what's the last accident you saw? You know, the one that's still fresh in their mind, you know, and not even like two cars broken down on the side of the road, but like you witnessed somebody get hurt. You will find that when people start telling you these stories, your value conversation is really going to change, okay? Because you've touched them at an emotional part of their brain, and that's the part that you want to activate to make the sale. You don't want to activate the rational part of them. You want to activate that emotional part. So ask them about the worst accident they've seen. Number four, and don't be afraid. Oh, by the way, don't be afraid. They might tell you something really horrible, but you know what? That's the business that we're in. Sometimes really horrible things happen. Anyways, okay, the next one is number four, ask them about their communication preferences, okay? So ask your clients, hey, do you prefer if we reach out to you by phone, by email, face-to-face? You know, do you prefer to set up with, you know, online accounts? And the reason that I'm saying that you ask about this question is because it enables you to talk in a later on down the line, you can talk to the client about how you're going to communicate with them and sell the value of your communication. So the reason I say this is that you might ask somebody this question, you know, how do you like to communicate? If we have problems and we need to contact you, how do you want us to do it? And what you're doing is you're kind of like telling them that they're going to have to deal with you again in the future. And it's probably good that they like you, that they see value in that. So they might tell you, I really prefer if there's a problem, if you give me a call on my cell phone. Okay, cool. No problem. Now, what you're doing is you're strengthening the idea that they're going to be talking to you at some point. Now, you might not like the fact that you're bringing up problems, and yeah, I agree with that. So maybe avoid that if you want to. But the point is that, you know, you don't want to be sitting there bragging to people like, hey, you know, we send text message alerts if you haven't paid your bill. And they're like, oh, really? Because I hate text messages. I don't want to get text messages. They cost me 10 cents every time I do it. You know, you want to ask those questions. How do they prefer to communicate? Because number one, you're going to be able to sell your communication ways that you do it better. But number two, you're just kind of, you're activating the part that they're not just making a price decision and then it's the end of a relationship. This is just the beginning of a relationship, and you're going to be molding that relationship in the way that they want it and the way that it's important to them. That was number four. Number five is to educate your prospects. An agent one time told me that he felt, and I agree with this, is that an educated customer is his best customer, because the educated customer understands things like sometimes price goes up. You know, an educated customer is going to understand that you don't always have the best price. An educated customer will understand things like jumping from one carrier to the next, to the next, to the next every 6 or 12 months actually prevents you from getting the best price. Because with our policy, the longer you're a client, the cheaper your price gets. You know, you think you're jumping around and you're saving money, but you're actually doing the opposite. So educate your customers. The other thing about educating your customers is it gives you an opportunity to really shine and show your value. When you can teach people how insurance works in a way that they've never heard before, no one's ever taken the time to explain to them the difference between collision coverage and comprehensive coverage, then they're going to see that value. They're going to see the value. But don't just ask a question like, do you understand how collision and comprehensive works? Because you know what they're going to tell you? Yes, I do. And then where have you left yourself? In a situation where you don't get a chance to explain it, or if you try to explain it, you're basically like offending them because they just told you they already understood it. So what you can say instead is, you probably already understand this, but if you don't mind, I'd like to just take a few moments just to tell you the difference between collision and comprehensive and why I'm recommending one deductible for one and another for the other. Got you thinking? Good. All right. Number six is to explain the discounts. Go through it, you know, as you're putting, you know, for one, I always tell people, talk about the discounts as much as you can. But when you explain the discounts, one of the cool things that you're showing people is that you're an expert in saving them money. Okay, so you say, you know, you're getting this discount because your car has anti-theft brakes. And you know what? The 1998 model didn't have it, but the 1990, you know, like, I know so much about discounts because I live, breathe, and I, you know, I wake up in the morning and I drink coffee so I can have more energy so I can find more discounts. That's what my life is all about. People are going to like that. They're going to like the fact that, you know, one of the values you offer is the price. That's kind of cool. All right. So explain those discounts. Number seven is find ways to inject your experience into the conversation. I mean, if you've been doing insurance for 30 years, don't you think people should know that? I mean, this probably is a little bit more of a value for an older audience. I think the older people are, the more they recognize how important experience is. It's certainly the case for me. If you asked me 10 years ago how important experience is, I'd probably give you a very different answer than I do now. Hopefully 10 years from now, I'll say the same. But I guess who knows what will happen in 10 years. 10 years, I could be on the planet Mars in a colony doing who knows what. So talk about your experience. And if you don't have any experience, talk about how hard you had to work to get your license. Talk about how important it is for you to gain experience and how experienced everyone else is in your office. Experience is a huge value. And somebody on the other end of a call center does not have experience. Okay. A great example of kind of a specific example of that is In my experience, I found that this coverage does not work. And let me tell you exactly a few situations where that happened to me. Now, when you call somebody at a call center, they have no idea. They have no input as to what happens when they undersell somebody a certain coverage. But me, I see the full circle. I see what happens when we undersell, when we don't sell a certain policy. Somebody who's sitting in a cubicle in Phoenix, Arizona, has no clue what happens. But I've been here. I've seen the experience, and that's why you can trust me. That's what I'm bringing to the table to you. Number eight, explain to your clients that having an agent does not raise the price. A lot of people don't know this because a lot of other industries aren't like this. And you know, I guess, I don't know, it's progressive, like charging more for agents. No, I don't know. I don't want to have that conversation. All right. And it doesn't even matter. The client doesn't need to know that. But make sure the clients know that, you know, having an agent doesn't raise the price, and you can even justify it. You know, agents are better underwriters. They allow the customer, they allow the companies to save money with their servicing, with these other things. So, you know, if you go to a company like Geico that doesn't have agents, don't think you're saving money, because Geico spends a lot of money on things that we as agents save companies from. You know, an agent allows you to get a more accurate price, so that you're paying for the risk that you actually deserve, not for, you know, a very poor underwritten situation where people can lie and everybody has to pay for the liars. I'm kind of rambling here. Just make sure that it's clear to them that having an agent doesn't raise the price specifically, because there's actually a decent amount of marketing out there that's saying the exact opposite messaging. And I would applaud State Farm, because they actually go out of their way to say, you know, they do kind of this marketing stuff. Maybe it was a few years ago, but it's kind of like, hey, why not get the best of both worlds? You can have an agent and a low price. And, you know, having one doesn't mean you can't have the other. Number nine is to talk about your licenses and certifications. I kind of did that already, but I don't think a lot of people have any clue that in order to sell insurance, in most cases, you have to pass this test. That's pretty challenging. I mean, a lot of people take this test a few different times. Depending on the situation, you might have to go to a class for 2 weeks. How about continuing education? Do people know that you have to go through all this stuff? People have no idea. It is a lot more challenging than people realize just to be able to be in that position where you can sell insurance. And there's a value to all that expertise and the knowledge and continuing education that you're taking in. There's a value of that to your clients. That was number nine. Number 10. Kind of similar to one thing I said before about, you know, think about your last car accident that you saw. But this one is, ask them about their last claim experience. Now think about that. Now you might have, you know, it's probably part of your quoting process, whatever you're selling, is to ask people about their history, their claim history. Well, tell me about, you know, when did you have a claim? After they give you that information, use the follow-up question of, how was your claim experience? People tell you, oh, you know, I got in this car accident in 1998. And you're like, oh, okay, whatever. Thanks. Okay, that's not going to affect your price. Now, you take that same situation, you say to the person, really, how was the experience? Boom, all of a sudden their head just left from this conversation they're having with you, and they just traveled back in time to this situation where they were very uneasy, and maybe they had a good experience, maybe they had a bad experience, whatever it is. But you just got that client thinking about something besides price. Because let's face it, when you just got in some car accident and your car is broken, you know, your car is shattered all over the road and somebody's hurt and there's an ambulance there, at that point, how much do you care about how much per month you pay for insurance? You don't care at all about that. What you care about is making sure that your situation is taken care of. Ask the people about the experience. Don't ask them just about their last claim. Ask them about their experience. And if they tell you it was fantastic, that's fine. That's totally fine. They'll probably tell you it wasn't, because I can tell you from my own experience with my own insurance claims, but also as a claim adjuster, that pretty much every claim sucks for some reason or another. And the whole point of it is because insurance just puts you back where you were. Insurance will never make you better. That's like the whole point of it. And that's why it's usually a bad experience. So if you want to get them thinking about the price they pay, thinking about something besides the price that they pay, ask them about that last claim experience. Number 11 is to ask them about the potential cost of not buying. And so, you know, this is maybe more for like a situation where somebody might not even buy the policy and maybe not like whether they buy it from you. But, you know, if somebody's kind of on the fence as to whether or not they want to pay $30 a month for a life insurance policy, ask them, what's the potential cost if you don't buy it? And don't tell it to them. Don't feed it to them. Just ask them that question. Right now, I'll ask you that question. What's the potential cost to your family if you don't buy insurance right now? Well, your answer is probably, I'm trying not to feed the answer here, but I'm the only one here on the podcast, so I have to. Your answer is probably going to be something like, well, I suppose if something bad happened to me, my family would be screwed. I guess maybe my wife might have to work another job, or they might have to move into a smaller house, probably have to sell some of my things. You know, all of a sudden you get this person thinking about the results of the decision they're making right now. And it's a very different decision than just which is more expensive, A or B. Do I want to buy this or not? So that was number 11. Ask about the potential cost of not making the right purchase. Number 12, ask questions and listen. And the key here thing that I'm trying to get to here is this whole conversation that I'm having with you right now is about selling value. Well, the value of the insurance that you're selling is different to you than it is to your clients. And if you think about all the elements of your policy that are valuable to you and you try to impart those on your client, you're going to be in trouble. You have to find out what's valuable to them first. And to give you an example, this isn't specific. I'm just kind of like painting a picture here. We'll say an insurance policy has 10 different values, okay? And one of the values, I'm not going to go through it. It's just 10 different things that you could say. It's like, this is a feature. This is a benefit. Here's the value of this insurance policy. Now, of those 10 different values that it has, there's maybe one or two that are actually important to that person, and the other ones don't matter at all. So if I start talking to somebody about here's all the values of this coverage and all they cared about was two of those values, I'm actually doing myself a disservice because now the person's thinking, oh, so like if I buy this coverage, then it's going to protect me if I rent a vehicle overseas. Guess what? I will never leave this country as long as I live. So I don't care about that. And in fact, I don't want to pay for a policy that has benefits and values that I will never, ever take advantage of. So now I'm less interested. The key is you got to ask questions. Ask questions, respond to those answers. Your products, your things that you're selling have benefits that people are going to be interested in. But don't impart those benefits on the people. You have to find out from them first. So just come up with questions that allow you to identify those values so that you can properly affect them. And if somebody doesn't care about something, don't pitch the values because you're doing yourself a disservice. You're trying to sell them things that they don't want to buy, and that's not helping yourself. That was number 12. Number 13 is to help your clients earn more discounts. Now, I'm not really just talking about teaching them about discounts or just finding the discounts as you're going through a quote or an annual policy review. I'm actually telling you, provide value by making it easy for them. I've known agents who actually hand people like a piece of paper that say, here are places you can go online to get a defensive driver course. Okay, if you're talking to somebody about life insurance and they're smoking and you know they're getting the smoker rate, I mean, you want to be careful because you don't want to offend somebody or push something that might be really hard for somebody. But you know, if you were to say, hey, listen, if you want to quit smoking, if you want to get your insurance prices down, I can connect you with resources here in our community or online or whatever that will help you do that. That's a value. That's a heck of a lot more of a value than just kind of quoting somebody's insurance, right? If you're talking about like a home security system and how that's going to help their homeowner's policy. Oh, okay, great. Thanks. Thanks for the information. But what if you handed them a card of a local security company and you said, you know, this is my buddy, and if you mention my name, he'll give you 5% off. Whatever it is, you know, that's value. That's adding value. That's not just educating or teaching them. You're taking these discounts and you're handing them to them. As easy as you can make it for them to get the discounts, that is bringing value to the table. Number 14, how to sell value over price is to not apologize for your price. Now, I get it. Everybody wants to save money on insurance, and I want to save money in insurance too. I want to save money on everything that I do. And I understand that a lot of your sales are probably happening because you're saving people money. But guess what? Sometimes nice stuff costs more money. And don't be ashamed of that. If your policy costs more money, that doesn't mean you're out of the game. If it was, then, you know, you'd make a good Kia salesman, you know, but I mean, I live in Miami, which is like this wild, crazy place where all anybody cares about is how they look and their image. And it's really kind of like weird. And so everybody drives like a BMW, at least, except for me and my Focus. But people buy things not because of price. Don't be ashamed. You know, people buy a Mercedes, they buy a BMW because of the image that it has. Give them that image. If you're more expensive, it's because we're better. If you get in a car accident, you're going to get better service. There's more of it, you know, there's everything about it is better. And I'm not going to apologize for the fact that I'm more expensive. I'm proud of it. And, you know, you might have mixed feelings about me saying that, and that's fine. But I had to say it. So that's all I got. That was 14 ways that you can sell value over price. And I think, hopefully, that's 14 things that you can actually do. I'm not feeding you BS here. That those are all actionable things that you can do. And I promise you that if you find ways to inject them into your sales process, you will have more success and you'll feel better about what you do. Because if all you're doing is typing in numbers and giving people numbers, then, I mean, computers do that a heck of a lot better than you and I can. As I've demonstrated on the podcast before with my poor math skills. Anyways, that's all I have. My name is John Carroll. I appreciate you listening to me, but I hope that it's given you, I hope listening to me is not a chore. I hope I shouldn't have to say thank you. I hope that you value it. And if you do, it would mean a lot to me if you went out to iTunes and you wrote a 5-star review of this podcast. The more reviews we get, the more 5-star reviews we get, it becomes more visible on iTunes and more agents will be able to get tips and ideas and things that will help you out. If you think that this podcast sucks, you're probably not still listening to it. I would really challenge. I wonder why you would still be listening to it at this point if that's how you felt. But maybe you just like things that make you angry. But anyways, I'm just rambling. Have an awesome week. Thank you very much. I will talk to you later. Goodbye.
Thanks for listening to Insurance Marketing with John Carroll, brought to you by InsuranceSplash.com. Now get out there and sell insurance.